Richard Browning joins us now. Richard Browning is the man who... Do you call it, Richard, a very good afternoon, do you call it an Iron Man jet suit?
Good afternoon. No, not the Iron Man bit. We do call it a jet suit to kind of differentiate from a jet pack, because it is very much something you're wearing rather than strapped to. But yes, it's very generous of a lot of observers to note that it does look somewhat similar to the Marvel creation of Iron Man, indeed.
And what is the difference between a jet pack and a jet suit?
So our jet suit, it consists of having a little jet engine either side of each arm. So there's two on each arm, and then a larger engine on your back. And between those five engines, you can fly in a very intuitive, almost like surfing, skiing, riding a bike type, very, very natural manner. I guess the original jetpacks of the sort of 1980s, and they have come on a bit since, but it's a larger device on your back with kind of armrests and joysticks and things like that. It's a bit more of a nudge towards an aviation device rather than something you're wearing as an augmentation to your natural balance and strength.
There's a note on my screen that you've just been doing jet suit flight training with clients, and you said in your answer to me that it's an intuitive way of flying. Describe to me, I mean, how it works, what you as the person with the jet suit on, strapped onto you or wearing the jet suit, how you fly, what you do to make yourself go up, down, left, right, forward, backwards.
Sure. No, absolutely. And I can't help but mention the visuals here would be useful. So if you look at Take On Gravity, as in taking on gravity, Take On Gravity on any of the social media platforms or the Gravity Industries YouTube channel, you can kind of see the visuals here. But essentially, with a little engine each side of each arm, the net result feels like you're just being supported on each arm. It's almost like leaning against a worktop, you know, sort of kitchen worktop, because you can feel that thrust just pushing on each arm. The engine round the back lifts the weight of the equipment and then also lifts the pilot by the back a bit as well. And the net result is you've got these sort of three vectors of support, you know, each arm and your back. And you learn very quickly that if you stumble to, let's say, your left, if you put your left arm out like you do anyway to try and support yourself, I don't know, you know, maybe you had too good a Friday night, you put your left arm out and you find a surface to support yourself. Well, now you've got a magic surface in the form of this jet thrust that is anywhere you point your arm. So your brain wires itself like learning to ski or snowboard or ride a bike very quickly. And then to go up, you actually just bring your arms in together, and that vectors more of that thrust downwards, and with the right power setting, starts to lift you up. We, of course, start with all our clients on very low power, so you can learn in a very natural way, and with the benefit of a tether behind your back, which means you can't even stumble and fall over.
And how, the sort of average client, Richard, how long would they take to learn to fly competently and safely?
You know what? It's a bit like watching children learn to ride a bike. You know, some kids who pick up a bike off the lawn, and you know, maybe their older sibling has learned, and they don't even realize they should have spent time to learn and just get it. Other kids maybe spend several weeks kind of agonizing and leaning on stabilizers. Adults with jet suits are kind of similar. We've had some people learn within one morning to be able to be good enough to come off the safety tether and then fly around like they've done it forever. Other people probably don't relax quick enough and trust their body and their mind to kind of get it. And it takes maybe a couple of days. But I mean, again, you can see all this online. It's surprisingly rapid.
Okay. And is this, well, I know it's not, because I've been reading up about it. It's not just something that wealthy people can do for a jolly. You envisage all sorts of really quite interesting and helpful practical things to do with a jet suit that you can't do without a jet suit.
Yeah, so we've actually done an awful lot of things with it. I mean, the whole idea, the journey started about 4 or 5 years ago with this vision of just seeing if it was possible or not to fly in a very natural, intuitive way. And we've gone on to do 115 events in 34 separate countries, and we've got very, you know, in-depth relationships with over six special forces groups. I was in the British Royal Marines Reserve for some time, and we've got an active program with them as well. But also on the search and rescue side, obviously not taking people to hospital, but in terms of providing that first response. And there's, again, a film on YouTube showing how we provided that role very powerfully in getting to a casualty in 90 seconds when it took over 25 minutes to walk there. So, you know, and we were about to launch a race series with these things as well. And yeah, there's a lot of things we've ended up finding we can do with this equipment.
that's what you can do now in your head, in your imagination, as you think of more and better and faster and lighter and all of those things. In 10 years' time, do you have a vision of what a jet suit might be able to achieve?
Trying to predict the next 2 years of technology advances is pretty hard, and especially with this, which was largely considered not really feasible a few years ago. We've just launched the electric version of this suit. We launched it at the Goodwood Festival of Speed here in the UK a couple of weeks ago, and really it was a sort of work in progress prototype. It weighs twice what a jet suit does and lasts for about four or five lots of 15 seconds. So you can see it's got a long way to go before it gets near the jet suit. But it's a starting point. And as the world advances with batteries and electric motors, you know, everywhere you look, then I could foresee that overtaking the jet suit capability pretty quickly. So who knows? I've never set out to imagine this being a sort of mainstream form of transport you take the kids to school.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, people thought the first motor cars were pretty noisy, smelly and crazy compared to a horse. So, never say never. You know, when you're in the business of innovation and technology, it's hard to predict stuff, because you can see things moving so quickly. I imagine we'll be in a pretty spectacular place even in 18 months, let alone 10 years.
Yeah, the skies are crazy enough already, and if we're going to add a whole lot of people, because I imagine if you drive a car badly, you're going to fly a jet suit badly as well, and to take the bad behavior off our roads and put it into the skies, that is a really scary prospect.
Yeah, indeed. So on a practical level, we don't fly these things very high. They can go technically very high, but, you know, from a safety perspective, and also really from a use case, whether it's entertaining crowds or training clients or doing military or search and rescue work, there's no real necessity to go particularly high, so we can keep the safety and also the air traffic challenge out of the way for now.
Yeah. A listener has just said, this is way more exciting to me than the billionaire space race. And I must confess that I'm much more interested what you're doing with the jet suit than I am by what Messrs. Branson and Bezos are doing, getting fairly high into space.
It's a lot cheaper to come and do what we're doing. I mean, it's still it will become gradually cheaper, but getting clipped into what essentially is a rock climbing top rope and then very progressively feeling your steps through the power levels. We've got a huge waiting list of people wanting to come and experience it. So, yeah, it's a little bit cheaper than going to space, that's for sure.
And what would a fully rigged jet suit cost if one were able to go onto Amazon.com? No, not Jeff Bezos. go on to jetsuit.org.uk and buy one. What would it cost me?
I should say, because I don't know what website you're promoting there, because I'm not quite sure what's at the other end of that. So before
I'm making up a website for you.
I know you are. I know. I was just wondering what might be there. Anyway, ours is gravity.co, if people are interested, as in just .co. Anyway, so we are not really in the business of selling them. We have had our arms twisted a couple of times by very wealthy clients of ours. And even then, we kept the equipment on our site just from a reputational point of view. We did charge, it was about £340,000, which at the time was about $440,000, I think. That is much more reflective of our reluctance and, frankly, distraction from all the other things we should be doing, rather than really what it costs us to build them. As we keep maturing as a company, we work with the FAA, CAA, even the military aviation authorities. As we keep embedding our protocols with them, there is more and more scope to sell to properly qualified and trained pilots of ours the equipment. But the neatest option is come and train with us, learn with us, and then join us when we're racing over water. And then it's very safe and very controlled, and, you know, it's the best way to proceed at the moment.
Is there a video of racing over water on gravity.co?
Yes, although the best place to go, as I say, is Gravity Industries YouTube. Yeah. There is some amazing footage there, if I may say. And I have to say, you know, we've always said that even if for some reason people didn't want to watch it, it is the most spectacularly liberating feeling flying in that sort of very natural, intuitive way over water with other pilots, you know, around you. It is just a spectacular, almost dreamlike experience.
And when you've been doing it for as long as you have, Richard, are you inclined to show off?
Well, you've got to make sure you kind of keep a handle on the safety side. I mean, our attitude to risk is, you know, it's always got to be survivable. So in other words, if the downside occurs, you've got to be able to get back up again. And, you know, that's always been the case with all of our pilots for the last 5 years. So Yes. I mean, sometimes you look at an event, I've been, you know, somewhere like downtown Singapore and a bus has gone past while I'm doing a very high profile event. And I've thought, gosh, you know, it would be really fun to just go and surf that bus into town. But we've never gone and done those kind of things because we probably wouldn't get invited back again. But there's plenty of scope for, frankly, you know, delivering what a 10-year-old child would want to go and do, you know, at many of our events. It's a pretty spectacular piece of kit.
Richard Browning, thank you very, very much for giving us some of your time, founder and chief test pilot of Gravity Industries.